The Bible is the word of Almighty God. Therefore, it does not need to be defended, only understood. The purpose of this program is to present to you, our viewers, the key to understanding the Scriptures. There is within the pages of the Bible itself a God-given design for studying the Bible. All the confusion that exists within Christianity today is the result of two failures. Number one, ignoring God's design for Bible study, and number two, failing to believe what the Bible actually says. We remind you of what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5:18, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall abide forever." We're instructed in Romans 3:4, "Let God be true, but every man a liar." We are informed by 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And as well, God tells us how to study His Word in 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That's God's design, rightly dividing the word of truth. Not according to your liking, not into verses you want or don't want to obey, but making distinctions where God makes distinctions. Obeying that portion of the Bible that is specifically addressed to us today. Now, here is our teacher.
In 1 Corinthians 11:1, it says this. It says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Hi, my name is Carl Trimboli, and today we'd like to look at a question someone posed to me a couple of days ago. And they said, "What does it really mean to be a Christian?" So I know for sure that the answer is in my Bible, so I went to the Bible and I started looking up some of the answers. What does it mean to be a Christian? First of all, I looked up the word Christian, and what does the word Christian mean? And it means to be a follower of Christ or belonging to Christ. So what does it mean for me today to say that I'm a Christian? What am I following? Who am I following? Of course, Jesus Christ. But how am I doing that? And that certainly would be according to the Bible and the Bible's teachings. Paul says this. The Apostle Paul said that, the verse I just read, in 1 Corinthians 11:1. By the way, if you have a Bible at home, go ahead and open it and get to 1 Corinthians, and we'll go through a Bible study, and you just relax, and we'll see what it means to be a Christian. It says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." The Apostle Paul claimed to be a follower of Jesus Christ, and he says, "You follow me as I follow Christ." And he was able to say this by inspiration. I know that my Bible is inspired by God. In 1 Timothy 3:16, it says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." So I know that this Bible here is God-breathed. And if I have a question, regardless of what it might be, I'll go here for the answer. This is my guide and my rule, and I'll gauge everything in my life by the words in this Bible. So if you have one open, we're going to go into the book of Acts now. The man that just made that statement, "Follow me as I follow Christ," he wasn't always following Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 26, he recounts the day of his salvation when he was standing before a guy named King Agrippa, and this was his account as he remembered his past history. Back there he said this. He said, we're in Acts chapter 26, verse 9. He says, "I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which things I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogues and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities." So what Paul said there in verse 9, he says, "I verily thought with myself," and if you catch the idea that what he's saying there, he thought with himself rather than consulting the scrolls and the scriptures that he had on how he was supposed to act as a, well, he was back here as a Jew, as a, he was of the sect of the Pharisees. And he said he was more exceedingly zealous than than all his brothers. So what he was doing here, he was now persecuting people that called themselves or were called Christians. So he says that he thought with himself, rather than consulting God's word, he thought with his own mind what was right to do. We pick up now in verse 12, where it says, "Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" When Saul, his name was called Saul before he started following the Lord, and it said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" This is the Lord opened heaven's door and shone down to this man, Saul, on his way persecuting Christians. And he says, "Saul, you're persecuting me." And that's the Lord in heaven saying that. When he persecuted Christians, he persecuted the Lord himself. And he continued to say, "It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And I said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." And now the Lord has taken the man that's leading the rebellion against Christians, who's leading the rebellion against the followers of Jesus Christ, and who's leading the rebellion against the disciples and the apostles of Jesus Christ. He, Jesus Christ, is going to call down from heaven and deal with this man. And let's see what the Lord had to say to this man. He said, "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose." God had a reason. The Lord had a reason to call this man Saul out, and it was for this reason: "To make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee." He reached down and he took a man that was persecuting his church, the Christians, and those who believed in him, Jesus Christ. And he took this man that was persecuting these people and stoning them and putting them in prison, and he took this man and made him his minister. And he said, "This is the purpose I've called you out." And in verse 17 it says, "Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee." This was the Apostle Paul's start in his ministry when the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Now I send thee." He's sending him out, and that's important to remember. In verse 18 it says, the reason why: "To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified," listen, "by faith that is in me." Not by ceremonies, not by works, not by Jewish tradition, but it says by faith that is in me. So the Lord reached down and took this man that was persecuting his church, his Christians, and we're studying out now, what does it mean to be a Christian? I wanted to give you some background on a man that was persecuting these type of people. And it says in verse 19, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." He wasn't disobedient to what the Lord said. He says, "Lord, whatever you want me to do, that's what I'll do." And he agreed with the vision, and he says, "Yes, Lord." He understood that he was the Lord. And Paul, before, he says, "Verily I thought with myself that they ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth." Now he's changing his mind now, and he wants to do those things that the Lord would have him to do. So that's the man that was later on in Scripture says, "Follow me as I also follow Christ." So he wasn't always following Jesus Christ. If you have your Bible there, back in the book of John, just a little bit back, in chapter 13, verse 20, the book of John, the Gospel of John, as the Lord ministered, the Apostle John wrote these words down. In verse 20, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me." This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking these words. "Verily, verily, truly, truly," that means, "I say unto you, He that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. So the Lord says, if I send somebody out, my apostles, and somebody believes and receives that apostle, they might have just as well received me, the Lord. That's how they received the Lord. So the Lord says, if I send someone out and you receive his doctrine, then you're receiving me and you receive him who sent me. That's God the Father. So it's very important when we read those verses in Acts where the Lord said to the Apostle Paul, unto now, unto whom I send thee. So the Lord sent out Saul, and he changed, and his name was then called Paul after a while, and he has the title and the authority to be called the Apostle Paul. He's the apostle to the Gentiles, and we'll read a verse later on. But what does it mean to be a Christian? The Lord said, well, first of all, we determined that a Christian was someone who followed Jesus Christ or belonged to Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we're going to let the Bible do the talking as we go through, because I surely wouldn't want to be as if I'm dreaming up all these things, and we like to let the Bible speak. So we'll be going to the Bible verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, "And I, brethren, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." What I wanted to point out here, when he's talking to the people over here in Corinth, he says, "And I, brethren." He's not talking to a church denomination. Being a Christian does not make you into a Christianity denomination. It makes you part of his body, called the body of Christ. It doesn't put you into an organization, but rather an organism, a living, breathing body of Christ. And we are his arms and legs and ambassadors, it's called in the Bible. When the Apostle Paul talks to people that he's preaching to, believers in Christ, he calls them brethren. He doesn't call them a denominational name. So remember that. If you belong to a denomination and you think because of that denomination you're Christian, That's not it. That's putting the cart before the horse. If you are believing in Jesus Christ the way the Apostle Paul says to believe in him, follow me as I also follow Christ, if you follow the doctrine that way, then you are a follower of Christ, then you belong to Christ, then you're a Christian. We'll get into the doctrine as we go through here. But he says, brethren, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 now, he repeats it in verse 15. He says, For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore, I beseech you, be ye followers of me. The Apostle Paul comes again and he says, be ye followers of me. And he says, in the verse above that, he says, I have begotten you, made you alive through the gospel. In the gospel the Apostle Paul preached, the good news that he preached was not Jewish ceremonies, and it wasn't killing off people like he used to do or stoning people. That was not the gospel. That wasn't good news. Good news was Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again, and Christ paid for our sins. That's the good news the Apostle Paul preached. And he says, hey, all you people out there, you follow me. And he said, I beseech you, I beg you to follow me. So that's exactly what he wants us to do. But he wants to make sure, and he repeats, he says, follow me, even as I also follow Christ. That's real important. He's not thinking in his own mind certain things now, but he's thinking in himself the things of the Scripture that he wants to tell people. Some of the other things that the Lord told the Apostle Paul was found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And this is where they have the what's called the Lord's Supper in chapter 11, verse 23. The Apostle Paul says something to these people, for I have received of the Lord that which I... For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And he goes on to talk about the Last Supper and the communion that he had with the 12 apostles. But the Apostle Paul said, for I have received of the Lord. The Apostle Paul spoke and talked directly to the Lord Jesus Christ when he appeared to him. He got direct revelation from him, not like any other man, not like the 12 apostles, of course, walked and talked and learned from the Lord Jesus Christ. But after the Lord died, was buried, and rose again, he came back and appeared to the Apostle Paul. And he showed him these things and this new doctrine, this different gospel than he preached ever before. And we'll unfold some of that for you. But he goes on through the book of Corinthians saying, these things I received of the Lord. Look now at 1 Corinthians 15. And this is a very important part of 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. Verses 1 through 4, and we'll go through these because this is the gospel the Apostle Paul preached. It wasn't like any other gospel or any other good news in the Bible. In the Old Testament, there was Noah, and he built an ark. It was good news for Noah to be saved from a flood. And for Abraham, it says for Abraham that he should be circumcised, that he wouldn't be cut off. And all the, else through time, the gospel came to different people, but not to the it came to the nation of Israel, but it was not that Christ died, was buried, and rose again for your sins. That was never preached in the Old Testament. There were many good newses in the Old Testament. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says, moreover, brethren, and there's the word again, brethren, it's not a denomination. He says, I declare unto you the gospel, that means good news, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand. He says, you've received this gospel. That's how we can call them brethren. It says, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. He says, this gospel, this good news, is how you're saved, unless you believed in vain. Believing in vain might be, yes, I believe that the Lord died on the cross for my sins, but I think I'll do everything possible to get rid of my sins my own way. And that's not what the Apostle Paul said is the gospel. This is what he says later on in verse 3. He says, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. Here it is again. He says, I received something from the Lord. And he says, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. This is the gospel the Apostle Paul preached. Nothing like in the Old Testament, nothing ever recorded before in prophecy or in the nation of Israel. This is something new. This is why the Lord reached down to someone who was persecuting his people and made him something new and gave him a new gospel and a new marching order never heard before. But the important part of the verses here, it says in verse 2, it says, by which also ye are saved. Saved from what? You're saved from your sins by believing this gospel. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. If you said, yeah, Paul, yeah, that's right, that's fine, but I believe that. But really in your heart, you really don't. That's one way to believe in vain. Believing in vain, another way would be trying to add something to your faith. Faith in Jesus Christ means that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, you take everything that being fully persuaded, the Bible says in Romans chapter 4. It says being fully persuaded that what he has promised, he is also able to perform. So being fully persuaded that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died for all of my sins, past, present, and future. And I'm fully persuaded in that when he died for all of my sins. And I hope that you do the same thing. Your faith in Jesus Christ is your salvation, unless you have believed in vain. If you believe in vain, then Jesus Christ only died for a few of your sins. And that is certainly not the gospel. When Jesus Christ went to the cross, he did it all. When he cried out to God the Father, he said, it is finished. He did the work so that we need to trust in him. To trust in him, we need to humble ourselves to his authority and his power and his grace and his mercy. He wants to be able to share his grace and his mercy with everybody. But it wouldn't be grace if we tried to work for it. If I said by giving so much every week to the church or to the assembly, that's going to pay for some of my sins. or if I stole something when I was a child, I put something extra in the offering to pay for that. That doesn't pay for my sins. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that pays for our sins, and that's recorded in the Scriptures. Let's go on to find out, and let's not get too far away from what it means to be a Christian. Paul said earlier, to follow me as I also follow Christ. And he just gave us the gospel here, and he says, believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was buried, he died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. As we believe that, as full payment for our sins, that's how we're saved. Paul goes on in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians 12, we have to remember that he received revelation from the Lord unlike any other man. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, it says this, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, and so on. But the scripture verse here, the point that I wanted to show you is the Apostle Paul says, through the abundance of the revelations. He received many revelations, not just one or two, not just about the Lord's table, and not just about the gospel, and not just about in Acts 26 where he says, I'm going to make you a minister. Those were just a few of the revelations that he gave to the Apostle Paul. He got many, and it goes on to say he was given a thorn in the flesh to humble him so that he wouldn't get big-headed about this marvelous appearing of Christ to him, and I suppose it would be very easy to do that. In Romans, in the book of Romans, backing up a little bit, in chapter 11, verse 13, he now has a gospel directed from the Lord, and he has an office as the apostle to the Gentiles now, as Israel kept rejecting the truths of God, and eventually the Lord set them aside and rose up the Apostle Paul to preach to the Gentiles. It says in verse 13, for I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. Paul wasn't getting big-headed here, as we discussed a little earlier, but he says, I magnify my office. If I wanted to put a spotlight on something, it would be what I'm doing as an apostle, preaching God's message to people so that they could be Christians, so they could be followers of Jesus Christ, so they could belong to Jesus Christ. If we go a little further in the book of Romans to chapter 15, it says in verse 16, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. He says that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ. We know that already because Jesus Christ says, you're going to be my minister. It says, ministering the gospel of God that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. And he's talking now to the Gentiles. The Lord has turned away from the nation of Israel and the Jewish traditions and the Jewish ceremonies and the Jewish sacrifices. And we hear no more about that in the epistles of the Lord of Paul. But the Lord gave him the message and the Lord gave him the doctrine to preach to people so that we might be followers of Jesus Christ, so that we might belong to Jesus Christ. That would make us a Christian. In Galatians, I'd like to give it right from the scripture verse. Galatians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul says how he received all of this. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Paul says in the book of Galatians, I am an apostle, but not of men, neither by man. In verse 11, it says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, is not from the 12 apostles. It says in verse 12, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So that the Apostle Paul received it directly from the Lord and not from a man. In chapter 3, verse 26, it says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And we get right down to the bare essentials of it. It's our faith that makes us belonging to Jesus Christ. It's our faith in Christ and the work that he did makes us belong to him and makes us Christians. In the book, let's go now to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And it says in verse 14, let's go up to 13, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor, talking about himself in his past life, and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Paul says, in my past days, I was not a non-believer. I was a non-Christian in my past days. But this is what happened. It says in verse 14, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love that is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, and listen to this now. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Here was the man that was attacking the very fiber and the very people of the Lord, those that followed the Lord, those that called themselves Christians. He was the man that was attacking the Lord himself when he called down from heaven. He says, why do you persecute me? So he was persecuting those belonging to him. In verse 16 it says, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. The Apostle Paul was a pattern for all those that would believe after him. He was the first of a new breed, and his gospel was the first of a new gospel that said, for by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It wasn't after Jewish ceremony anymore, or Jewish tradition, or the doctrine, or the gospel of the 12 apostles, but it was something that Paul said in me first, for a pattern to all them that should believe on him to life everlasting. Why don't you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ right now and be saved? Thank you.
We hope this program has been an eye-opener to you. We are not out to destroy anyone's faith, but to establish your faith upon the truth. Only then will you experience real liberty. The truth shall set you free. If we can be of any further assistance to you, we would love to help you. Or if you would like any of the free literature you see on your screen, you may call or write Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Our phone number is area code 313-778-5032. Once again, that's Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Area code 313-778-5032. This program was presented freely to you in cooperation with this local public cable station. Thank you for sharing this time with us. Join us again this time next week to learn more about God's message of grace. Until then, this is Daniel Schulert speaking for all of us at Grace Bible Church, praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe.